Our speaker this evening is our brother David. Feels very strange calling him that, so it's usually Dad. And he's going to speak to us on the subject. He's carrying on our theme of people Jesus met, and he's going to be speaking to us on the Syrophoenician woman. And he's asked that we take a reading, Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 31, and Brother Mick will lead us in that reading.
Mark chapter 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees, and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands? He answered and said unto them, Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honour thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited from me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man, that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. And from thence he arose and went unto the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis.
Thank you.
Thank you for that reading. And I ask your attention as our brother speaks to us on the subject, people Jesus met, the Syrophoenician woman.
Well, a very good evening to you all, my beloved brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you once again as we meet around the Word of Life. And tonight we're looking at the Syrophoenician, as Mark's Gospel puts it, or a woman of Canaan, as is found in Matthew's Gospel. And as Brother Paul has said, it's to continue our series of who Jesus met. Now, Jesus met many, many thousands of people, possibly millions. And yet, out of all these people, we only have a few recorded that Jesus had a private conversation or a meeting with. So what made these people stand out to Jesus, that he talked, and with some, helped them? I suppose it's the same with us, brothers and sisters. We meet many, many people, but there are only some who make an impression on us. There's something different that catches our eyes, our attention. And normally, it's the strange ones, isn't it, that stand out. But with Jesus, we know it was something to do with their heart that made them stand out. Now, this woman probably came from the region round about Tyre and Sidon, as we read of. Gentile cities located in Phoenicia, or modern Lebanon, to distinguish it from the Phoenicia in North Africa. Now, in Old Testament times, the time of Abraham, Canaan covered most of the Holy Land, from probably Sinai up to Kadesh, above Sidon. The Egyptians may have had some political control over Canaan, particularly the coastal plain around Gaza. Then this became Philistia. To the south, from the Negev to about Giza, and Phoenicia to the north, from just above Carmel upwards, with Israel ruling from the coast by Giza up to Carmel. So Phoenicia, now known, as I've said, as modern Lebanon, covered Tyre and Sidon. And it's from this region this woman comes to Jesus. And from our reading, we see the woman's persistence. Now, Tyre bordered Galilee to the northwest, a journey of about 30 miles from Capernaum. Now, ever since the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus and his disciples were skirting the region of Galilee with the purpose of avoiding opposition so he could teach his disciples privately. These regions were, one, the northeast shore of Galilee, and that's found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 30 to 53. Two, Phoenicia, the one under consideration this evening, Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. The third one, Decapolis, Mark 7, verses 31 to Mark 8, verse 10. And four, Caesarea Philippi, Mark chapter 8, verse 27 to Mark chapter 9, verse 32. And as we've read, they thought they could do it unnoticed. But we know that that wasn't the case. And if you come and read verse 24, we read, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid." The light of the world, the light to lighten the Gentiles, was here, and he could not be hid. He could not be hid under a bushel, could he? But he was prominent. He was put on the candlestick, and he gave light to all who had their eyes open unto him. So people would be drawn to him wherever he went, because they knew who he was. And why was that? Well, if you'd like to come to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and we read verses 16 and 17, and Jesus says these words. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So with what he was doing here in the Sermon on the Mount, and doing those good works which everyone with their eyes open could see, he was glorifying his Father, fulfilling the law which was there to save and to lead to better things. And this Syrophoenician woman believed that in him was life. And in Gospel of John chapter 3, we read verses 19 to 21. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So this woman believed and had faith. She was living the truth, knowing that the only name under heaven whereby we can be saved was before her, and she comes to him. So where did she get this knowledge of Jesus, the Messiah, from? That she would respond in this way as soon as she knew he was there. Well, she was obviously waiting intently and patiently for her Lord to appear, which is a great example and an exhortation for us, brothers and sisters. Are we doing the same, ready to drop everything as this woman did when our Lord comes to bring us ultimate salvation? Or will we be found sleeping? Well, we pray we will be ready, don't we, as we read in our reading of Mark's Gospel a few days ago, chapter 13 and verses 35 to 37, where we're urged to watch, aren't we? So Jesus came suddenly to Tyre, but this woman was ready. So where did she get this zeal from? Well, she may have been familiar with the writings of Isaiah, whose name means the Lord is salvation. She may have known the judgments that had been proclaimed against them as the Assyrian Empire expanded westward into Aram, which is Syria and Canaan, and against Tyre in Isaiah chapter 23. She may have known the sufferings and glories of the Lord's righteous servant, Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53. The Lord's call to salvation and covenant blessings in Isaiah 55 to 56 verse 8. And the judgments for false worshippers and blessings for true worshippers, Isaiah chapter 66. Or maybe she'd heard of a story from long ago of the widow of Zarephath, a small Phoenician town named Surafend by Tyre and Sidon, who had a son raised to life again by a prophet of the Lord, namely Elijah. It was this woman's faith that brought it all about, for she said of Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." She may have heard someone say that chap Jesus speaks the truth and put two and two together. But it's all surmisings, isn't it? Now, she may have known this. And is it a coincidence, brethren and sisters, that both Mark chapter 7 and Matthew 15, before the incident with the woman, deals with false worship? As we've read in Mark, let's go to Matthew chapter 15. I'm reading verses 7 to 9. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, she may have known these things, brethren and sisters, or she may have been there in Matthew chapter 4, I'm reading verses 23 to 25. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And maybe she'd been there from Matthew's chapters 5 to 7 for the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Or maybe the verses we've already quoted about the light. And also these, verses 6 to 8 of chapter 7. These might have stuck in her mind. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now these could have stuck in her mind, especially when they came down from the mount, and Jesus healed the man with leprosy, as we know, a living death. Then the centurion, a Gentile, asks for his servant to be healed, and he doing this for his servant. Then the healing of many, as we see in verses 16 and 17. Now, if she was there, brethren and sisters, would not these things have encouraged her beyond measure? For she may have heard people talking about these things, and this may have motivated her to find out more. Things we would do well to take heed of, brethren and sisters. We should be encouraged and motivated beyond measure at all the wonderful things we know and the continued blessings we receive from God's bountiful hand. The woman's daughter may have been born with her illness, or it may have come on suddenly to make her seek out Jesus. But the thing is, she did. And just like the woman with the issue, she wasn't worried of the consequences. She comes to Jesus in Mark's gospel and fell at his feet in faith and humility. She was fully convinced that Jesus had the power to help her. Now, in Matthew's gospel record, we're not told she fell at his feet, but we are told she cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. That word she cried in Strong's is 2905 and 2906, and it means in grief, tumult. She clamoured over a lot in life. There is no one else who can help me. When the disciples said to Jesus, Send her away, for she crieth after us, all they could hear was a woman screaming. Now Strong's number for this is 2896, and it says, To croak as a raven, scream, call aloud, or cry out. Now, we know we can all get croaky voices, and we know what brings them on, whether that's continual shouting, singing, or talking, or from tears in sadness. All the disciples heard was noise. But as we said, Jesus, who knows the heart, knew differently. He knew she meant what she thought and what she said. You are the only one who can help me. You see, people in the world around us, and we have examples in the Word of Life, of those showing crocodile tears so they can be pitied, so they don't receive the punishments they are due. And we see it on the news and read it of it in the papers, don't we? Because they are judged by man's law of emotion. But God sees through that and rewards men and women accordingly. And as an example, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, reading verses 15 to 17. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessings, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. God isn't fooled, neither is Jesus. So did Jesus grant her what she wanted? Well, back in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, and we see but he answered her not a word. So she wasn't answered. He answered her not a word. Was that it? Did she give up and go away, especially with the disciples asking for her to be sent away? No, as I said earlier, she was a determined woman and knew that Jesus was the promised son of David, the Messiah. And if he only said the word, it would happen. So on hearing the disciples asking for her to be sent away, it seems strange that Jesus answers in verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I have come for those who are lost of Israel, without a shepherd. And it's as though it was to comfort her. Now, she knew that Jesus had saved other Gentiles, as I've already mentioned. The multitude in Mark 3, verses 7 to 12. Mark chapter 3, and verses 7 to 12. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon. A great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him, for to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straitly charged them that they should not make it known. But we know people do talk, don't they? And if you hear those words, if someone's telling you their thoughts, don't tell anyone else. It's very hard not to pass on the information, especially if they've been cured of some dreadful illness. Then there was Legion in Mark chapter 5, and in verses 19 and 20, after he wanted to go with Jesus, this is what he said. Albeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and have had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And we know he went, and he did, and everyone marvelled. In verse 25 of Matthew 15, we read, Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. The woman was more determined than ever. I said earlier that in the Matthew account, it doesn't mention she fell at his feet. But here it seems to tell us she prostrated herself at Jesus' feet and would not move. And in saying Lord, which means Kurios, she was saying, You are in supreme authority, help me. You're the only one who can, was her cry. But Jesus refused again. And his answer was firm, as we see in verse 26. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. That answer to people's thinking might seem harsh, even offensive and rude. But it was true. Jesus always did and said the right thing. However inconvenient or unpleasant they may seem. You see, she was outside the covenants of promise and was not entitled to his help. And she fully understood this. Had not Jesus commanded his disciples, who were still listening, in Matthew 10, and reading verses 5 and 6. This is what he commanded his disciples to do. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go not into the way of the Gentiles. So what was Jesus to do then? Compromise a principle? Retreat from a position of truth? Well, he did neither. As I said, Jesus always did and said the right thing. He lived and spoke the truth. Hard as it may have looked from the human perspective, the answer of the woman herself provided the solution to the problem, as we read in verse 27. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now, dogs in this verse is not the fully grown dogs that were not cared for in the East at this time. They were left to feed for themselves. So when they were full, they rested. The word here relates to puppies. And if you've been fortunate or unfortunate to raise a litter of puppies, you find they're always on the lookout to play, but mainly for food. And they'll eat anything. 8 meals a day we had to prepare for them, and it still wasn't enough. So, was the woman answering, Yes, that's true. But whatever they don't like, what they can't palate or stomach of the truth, I will gladly eat and take on board. You see, she did not protest or even resent the divine principle set out by Jesus. She accepted it. She recognized that she had no right to divine mercy. All she pleaded was for a few crumbs. As I said earlier, she was convinced that Jesus had the power to help her. And everyone were of the same mindset. And, as we've seen, she threw herself entirely at his mercy. In this, she showed humility and faith. A frame of mind we know through our reading of God's word will always find an acceptance with him. So under these circumstances, Jesus could help her without sacrificing any principle. And we see in verse 28 that he did just that. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And it's amazing, brothers and sisters, how many times when Jesus says, so be it, the people accept it, don't they? And they go their way, and it's done, just as Jesus has said. So then, brothers and sisters, in this lovely little episode we've looked at this evening, we can see a foretaste of wonderful things to come. When the door of salvation was opened to the Gentiles, something for which we can rejoice and be thankful for. So let us be like this woman who patiently waited for her Lord with unwavering faith and belief, even in hard times. That what she knew, what she heard, what she saw, was worth the struggle to keep on going at all cost on that straight and narrow pathway which leads to the kingdom. And I say, brothers and sisters, let us do likewise until our Lord comes.